May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn number 333. O my soul, what means this sadness? Wherefore art thou thus cast down? Let thy griefs be turned to gladness. Bid thy restless fears be gone. Look to Jesus and rejoice in his dear name. Hymn 333.
Thank you. Let's read together from the Word of God. Prophecy of Isaiah, reading from chapter 11 and then from chapter 12. The prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 11 and chapter 12. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch to grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. And with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentile seek, and his rest shall be glorious. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again, the second time, to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt, from Pathros and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath, from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. The envy also of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim. But they shall fly upon the shoulders of the Philistines toward the west. They shall spoil them of the east together. They shall lay their hand upon Edom and Moab, and the children of Ammon shall obey them. And the Lord shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea, and with his mighty wind shall he shake his hand over the river, and shall smite it in the seven streams, and make men go over dry shod. And there shall be an highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, like as it was to Israel in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, Praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. May the Lord bless that reading of his word to us. Add our amen to it. May he teach us how to pray. Merciful, kind and gracious Lord our God, it is our mercy that we can approach unto thee, the throne of grace, into the holiest of all. It is through that one indeed who is our intercessor and who doth plead the cause and the interest of his people. And he pleads on their behalf because they're the purchase of his blood and because he owns them and because his delights are in them. And because he loves them, and he knows they're poor, and he knows that they're needy, and he knows that they've come to seek and worship at his feet. So we call upon thee, Lord, our God, our Father, which art in heaven, that thou wilt be pleased to be mindful of us as we gather together in thy name. And thou seest us just as we are, Lord. We're poor and needy. We're helpless. We're the insufficient ones, the weak ones. But Lord, we've come to thee, Lord. That thou wilt be pleased to raise us up. And above all these things of time and sense, bring us near to thee, Lord, and bring us to see and to feel our need of thee, our need of thee, Lord, day by day, our need of thee this day, that thou hast been with us in all our coming, in all our going. Thou hast been mindful of thy poor people, looking down upon them, beholding them, and that they are thy portion and thine inheritance forever. And thou art very watchful over them. Thou hast kept them and protected them and defended them. Thou hast brought them through another day. Thou hast heard their prayers and petitions, Lord, this day. They're the prayers of the dependent ones, the prayers of those that wait upon thee, the prayers of those that need thee. And thou hast brought us to this moment of time that we might seek thee and praise and bless thee for all the wonders of thy love and mercy to us, thy care and keeping and preservation. O Lord, it is thy poor people that can come to thee and that they can declare, he hath done all things well. O Lord, it is our mercy to be able to say something, Lord, that thou hast done for us. And we do believe, Lord, that we can bear testimony to thy faithfulness, that thou hast never left us or forsaken us, that thou hast been that one who has bidden us to call upon thy name, and I will hear them. Oh, it is our mercy, Lord. We live, Lord, at the mercy seat. We live upon thy mercy, thy pity, thy compassion towards us, Lord, to look down upon us and to come to our help and come to our need as we journey forth here below. And now, Lord, as we gather together in thy name, our need is great. Lord, that thou wouldest fix our hearts upon those things that are above, where Christ sitteth the right hand of the Father, to set our affection on things that are above and not on the earth. Lord, lift us up above all these inferior things here below and bring us near unto thee, Lord, and bring us into union and fellowship with thee. Bring us, Lord, into the fellowship of thy sufferings, Lord. If thou wilt bring us there, Lord, then it will humble us. It will keep us low, Lord. And it will bring us to see in thee, O Lord, our great salvation. Thou who hast done great things for us, Lord. And Lord, that we might see thee, Lord, in all thy love and mercy and grace that should be shown to sinners in and through thy sufferings and death at Calvary. O Lord, we do pray then, help us to draw near, and that we might know what it is to be humbled under thy mighty hand, brought before thee, Lord, seeking to worship thee in spirit and in truth, and that thou wilt be with us and in the midst of us, Father, Son, and Spirit, to make this gathering complete, Lord, and to bring us to see, Lord, our dependence upon thee, and that thou wilt show thy love and mercy to us, Lord. We're unworthy of the same. Thou knowest, Lord, thou knowest how oft, Lord, we're confessing our sins and iniquities. Thou knowest, Lord, the things that trouble us. Thou knowest that we bear with us a body of death, the sad wanderings of our hearts, the vain things of our lives, Lord. Oh, Lord, we do pray, turn us and we shall be turned. O Lord, show to us thy mercy. Cleanse and heal and restore, we pray thee. O may we know, Lord, the precious fountain of thy blood, Lord. O that alone can heal, that alone can remove all guilt and defilement, that alone, Lord, will bring us, Lord, before thee, and in praise and blessing to thy name, and knowing the blessedness of peace and pardon through thy blood. O Lord, deliver us and save us, Lord, from this wicked and deceitful heart, Lord. It hasn't been removed from us by grace, Lord. We do believe, Lord, that it is in the purposes and counsels of thy will that this wicked and deceitful heart should remain in us. But Lord, thou knowest, oh, how much it brings us to thee, how much, Lord, we're brought to see that we're beggars, suing for mercy, and Lord, it will bring us more and more to that healing and cleansing flood of thy precious blood. And it will bring us, Lord, yes, we do believe, more and more to see the sanctifying effects of thy grace upon us, the deliverances, or the blessings, Lord, of thy grace upon us, to deliver. And where sin abounds, that thy grace might much more abound. O Lord, we do pray then, be with us. Keep us close unto thee, Lord. Put thy fear into our hearts, Lord, that we might be those true worshippers at thy feet. That fear, Lord, that we'll reverence in, that fear that will hold us fast to thee, cleave to thee. One thing needful to us, Lord. Oh, we do pray, Lord. We have nothing in ourselves, Lord. Everything that we need comes from thee, Lord. Everything that we need to bring us through our course here below, it comes from thee, Lord. We need grace. We need thy Spirit to be upon us. Faith in a precious Christ. That faith that is overcoming, and that faith that centers in a precious Christ, and that faith that will deliver us from the wiles of the devil, and that faith that will keep us from this world, that faith that is overcoming, and that faith in Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Oh, that faith in a precious Christ. Help us, Lord, to serve thee, to follow thee, and to seek thee, to be our all and in all here below, and visit our souls in thy salvation. Oh, help us to glory in thy name. Help us to glory in thy finished work at Calvary. Help us, Lord, to lift thee up and to exalt thee, for all the good and the great things that thou hast done for us, Lord, by way of salvation, redemption through thy blood, the forgiveness of sins, Lord. Help us to lift thee up. Do, Lord, watch over us each here that have come and to gather together around thy word. We each come, Lord, with differing needs, different circumstances, different conditions, Lord, different needs, Lord. Look down upon each and every one and appear unto each and every one out of the fullness of thy grace, Lord. Come to every poor needy soul, we pray thee, that not one shall be bereft, Lord, of thy help, and thy succour and thy strength that thou dost impart to us, Lord. O Lord, do come to us each. And we pray, Lord, look down upon this church and this congregation, Lord, this little corner of thy vineyard where thou art pleased, Lord, to be present with them, and where thou art pleased, Lord, to show thyself, to be that one in the midst, to keep them and preserve them, a church and congregation together. May the witness of the gospel be continually preached and proclaimed here, Lord, to the glory of thy name and to the good of souls, Lord, to the building up of Zion, to edify, to grow in grace and knowledge of thee and grow nearer to thee, to love thee more. O Lord, do maintain then this people and uphold them, Lord, and give them grace to continue. And we pray, Lord, that there may be those added to this church, Lord, particularly everyone, Lord, that gather here, the eldest to the youngest, Lord, and those that may not be present with us at this time, Lord, the young people, the children, Lord, oh, everyone, Lord, may they all be favoured under a God whose love is towards his people. And if thou wilt be pleased to show a love to each one, Lord, even the young ones, Lord, preserving them in the days of their youth, Lord, to gradually draw them to thee through the word, through the gospel, and that thou hast set forth those divine appointments for them, where thou wilt be pleased to meet with them and change them and renew them by thy grace. Oh, what a wonder that will be, Lord. Oh, we do pray, Lord, then come to each and every one, we pray thee, and undertake the cause and the interest of each one. Be with each, Lord, as we gather together, then we pray thee, and come to each and every one of us now, Lord. We think of the poor ones, the needy ones, those that need a Christ this evening, Lord, those that are in trouble. Lord, they need thee, Lord. They need the right hand of thy righteousness to uphold them. They need thee, Lord, to wait upon thee. Come to their help, Lord. Come to their needs. Those perhaps burdened and troubled over their sins, Lord, and their iniquities. Well, it will be the work of thy Spirit, Lord, if that is true. Lord, we pray, if thou hast convinced and convicted them of their sins, then lead them, Lord, with repentance to a precious Christ for mercy and salvation, we pray thee. Hear us, Lord, in our prayers. Those in the path of sickness and infirmities, do draw near to them, Lord. Oh, may they behold thee, Lord, still as that one who hath borne them up, those everlasting arms to support them, to strengthen them though in weakness, to impart to them peace and comfort to their souls. Thou hast promised that thou wilt not break the bruised reed, nor quench the smoking flax, Lord. Raise it up to a flame, Lord. Come, Lord, where thy people are, we pray thee. Thou art touched with the feeling of their infirmities. They are the purchase of thy blood. Show to them, Lord, that thou hast given them, Lord, that wondrous blessing of salvation, the pardon and forgiveness of all their sins, and a way to heaven and glory for them. O Lord, give them a token for good, we pray thee, for their souls. Oh, we come to thee then, Lord, again to wait upon thee, that thou wilt come and speak to us each through thy word, Lord. And that is what we need, Lord. A word in season, a word to do us good. And thou hast promised, Lord, and spoken, that the word that goeth out of thy mouth shall not return unto thee void. Lord, that grace that was poured into thy lips, that it might be poured out again into the souls of poor needy sinners this evening hour, we pray thee. Come then, Lord, we pray, and appear in the midst, and inflame our poor souls with the precious word of thy gospel truth, and then enlarge our souls, Lord, in a love to thy name, in praise and blessing to thee. Oh, for thou art worthy, Lord. Thou hast done great things for us. Help thy servant to speak in thy name. Help thy people to hear. And, Lord, have all the glory and the praise. Watch over this church then, Lord, and keep them each and preserve them. Pardon and forgive all our sins, and we ask it in that all-precious name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn 943. The God of grace delights to hear the plaintive cry, the humble prayer, nor shall the weakest saint complain that he has sought the Lord in vain. Hymn 943.
Seeking the help of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, we would seek to draw your attention to the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 12, reading from verses 5 and 6. Prophecy of Isaiah chapter 12, reading from verses 5 and 6. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. It seems to be that in every verse of this chapter 12 we have something whereby we give praise, blessing, thanksgiving, sing unto the Lord, cry and shout. Chapter 1 it says, and I will praise thee. Verse 1, I will praise thee. And then the wondrous truth that is in verse 3, the joy to draw water out of the wells of salvation. Verse 4, praise the Lord, call upon his name. Verses 5 and 6, sing unto the Lord, cry and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion. Have we got something to praise the Lord for, dear friends? Really, it's a chapter that shows to us that we should be in thanksgiving and praise and blessing to his name. And in these verses of this chapter 12, it's for everything that God has done for us. Everything. It's who he is. It's what he has done for us. Well, has he done anything for us, dear friends? Have we got anything at all to praise and bless him for? Anything? You might say, dear friends, that this crying and this singing and this joy and this praise doesn't seem to be much part of my life as one of the Lord's people. Why I'm more cast down, more burdened with my sins, more troubled over my sad departings, wayward hearts, confessions, repentings, forsakings. Yes, we might forsake the Lord, forget him when we need him. We often forget the throne of grace, that we've got someone to come to in our needs, and yet we forget, don't we? Dear friends, the words of our text declare what he has done. What he has done for his people. This chapter 12 seems to hold everything that shows to us in a full and free salvation for sinners. What God has done in Christ for his church and people. He's done absolutely everything, hasn't he? Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. These excellent things that the Lord has done, they're those things, dear friends, which we will prove to be very precious to us. There will be those things that hold so much value to our souls. What God has done in Christ. And yes, we may often mourn and sorrow and repent and confess our sins and iniquities. It will be a great part of our lives here below. But dear friends, can we ever look to what God has done in Christ for us? What he has sealed upon our hearts of his love and mercy and grace? The witness that we have in our souls, dear friends, of the glorious and finished work of Jesus Christ. Is there anything more excellent than that? Precious than that? Why? It's the greatest value, dear friends, of the testimony and witness that we have of our great salvation in Jesus. And if we've been brought to be blessed by it, and the blessing of this salvation in our souls, it's a token for good. You see, in all our downcast times, our sorrows, disappointments, that we may bear with us here below, there's something that remains. These excellent things, sing unto the Lord. Because, yes, we've been blessed with them once, but the token of them, the witness of them, it can never go away. One of my great blessings is this, dear friends, often to come to that place where Jesus hung and suffered for my sins and iniquities. I pray that the Lord will continue in all the days that I have remaining to bring me to that place. They're the only comfort of my soul. The Lord may from time to time hide his face. We may be in darkness betimes. We may be in the times of adversity and trial and tribulation here below. And remember that monster, the devil, you know, he tries to take away everything from us that the Lord has given to us. But where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. And this is the blessing, isn't it? That what he has done can never really and truly be taken away from us. No. We've got the token in our souls, the witness and the testimony of a precious Saviour in our room and place at Calvary. This is the excellent thing that he has done. And we carry it with us. We carry it with us wherever we go. Because we're one of the subjects of Zion in the next verse. We're one of the pilgrims. And Zion, dear friends, is God and his people together. And Zion is a place of holiness. Everything that we've been blessed with has come from the heaven of heavens. Not these lower heavens, but the heaven of heavens. And it's come down right into our poor souls through the Holy Spirit. Excellent things then. Isn't it what Christ has done for us? Isn't this the praise belonging to our God? The gift of his dearly beloved Son. We may think of this, these excellent things, that they were all settled before time began. The covenant of his grace. There abounds his everlasting love to sinners. And his everlasting love was in the agreement that his dearly beloved Son would become a surety for the sins of his people. Give them a full and free salvation. That is where God's love comes to his people. And the witness is the Holy Spirit to bear testimony to it in our souls. You know, it all comes from heaven, dear friends. Whatever comes from heaven, the devil can't take it away. No. Cannot take God's love away from us. Why? Why? Where is it? It's in a suffering Christ upon the cross at Calvary. Excellent things. It says, he hath done excellent things. The excellency of these things, dear friends, is a testimony of this love of our God in Christ, because it has brought us to God. We stand whole and pure, perfect, through the righteousness of Christ. You see, the cross of Christ, it's the glorious work of imputation. All our sins were borne out upon a precious Christ. He hath laid on him the iniquity of us all, imputed, taken away. And we have the testimony of that. Because, dear friends, when the Spirit of the Lord will apply the blessedness and the glory of his cross to our poor souls, it will remove all guilt and defilement. Nothing will be left to condemn our poor souls. Nothing. The Spirit of the Lord has removed all our guilt and defilement. Jesus has taken it all upon himself. Every last sin, think of it, dear friends, every last sin, because we would never be acceptable unto God unless, dear friends, our sins were absolutely blotted out forever. This is our mercy. Excellent things, clothed in the righteousness of Jesus. This is the rejoicing, isn't it? If I just think of another word that seems to be applicable to this salvation and righteousness, dear friends, and the token of it, in Isaiah 61 it says in verse 10, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. Oh, the excellent things, dear friends. And then there's another excellent thing, because he brought us to God the Father. The sweetness of adoption. Here, dear friends, is the mercy that belongs to us. Now become the children of God, predestinated unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. Oh, this is the wonderful truth. For he hath done excellent things. We're heirs and joint heirs with Christ. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. We're heirs to an inheritance. And we are God's children. And that he loves us. And that he cares for us. He watches over us. And he is that one that abides and remains with us. He's always near to us. He beholds us, dear friends, wherever we are. We're the apple of his eye. All our concerns are his concerns. All our needs are his needs, dear friend. He will supply. Oh, it's the wonderful relationship that we have with God. You know, dear friends, our God will never let this relationship break up, you know. No, whatever our path is, dear friends, whatever our troubles and trials, whatever our concerns, adversity, tribulation, trouble, no, God is still the same to us. He will never alter in his love, his mercy, his care and keeping and preservation. And so, dear friends, no condemnation. And, dear friends, he has wrought in us a new life of grace in the soul. And it's a life of grace that goes after God. It's a life of grace that needs God. It's a life of grace that looks to God. It's a life of grace, dear friends, that will continue to take us to the throne of grace, to commune with our God, to tell him all our needs and concerns. These are the excellent things for us. We're not our own anymore. We're bought with a price, the price of his own heart's blood, and he owns us by that price. And it was a great price. Every sin was cast out, dear friends, blotted out forever. For he hath done excellent things. And dear friends, we shall never want for anything. We shall never want for anything. The Lord is my shepherd, David says, I shall not want. We've got everything we need, dear friends, in God in Christ. And what have we got in these excellent things here? He has made a way to heaven for his poor people. That is what he has done. Heaven and glory belongs to them. And Jesus, in his resurrection, his ascension into heaven, has made a way into the holiest of all. He's our forerunner. And dear friends, the church are following. How many poor saints, dear friends, have entered into the glory of that place that Jesus has reserved for them. I go to prepare a place for you. He hath done excellent things. Let it be the comfort of our souls. Let it be the song in our hearts. This church and people, dear friends, they've been raised up above all peoples of the earth. There is none like this people, none like them. For he hath done excellent things. Whenever, dear friends, we're laid low, yes, troubles and trials may come, God has always promised that he'll be with his people. And his presence is always with us. My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. He sees us in every part and aspect of our lives. He cares for us. For he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Is it known here, dear friends? In all this people that gather together, week by week, Lord's Day by Lord's Day, is this something, dear friends, that belongs to you? I want it to belong to me. This is known in all the earth. When the Lord Jesus sent forth his disciples, well, to become apostles, they were to go forth in all the earth, the four corners of the earth, beginning at Judah, and to all the earth, to the length of it and to the breadth of it, as so many that include the family of his grace, and that from the beginning of time to the end of time. We read together in verse 12 in chapter 11, and he shall set up an ensign for the nations and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. That shows that this is a gospel chapter, isn't it? It begins with the gospel, a branch of Jesse that should come forth. Well, it's Jesus, isn't it? And it says to the four corners of the earth. It means, dear friends, that there will be a people in every generation of time that shall come to this wonderful truth, that these excellent things are known in all the earth. Is it something that lays with interest on our souls? It's everything that God is in Christ. It's his people. They shall know it. Are we seeking? Are we looking to the Lord for this great salvation? I just go to another word in Isaiah 53. Well, that is a gospel chapter, isn't it? But it says in verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, yes, put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. Well, dear friends, we come back to the cross of Christ. You see, in that suffering, he saw the travail of his soul and was satisfied. When Christ cried, "It is finished," and laid down his life and gave up the ghost, the whole of the church were saved in that moment. It must be so. But in the fullness of time, every one of them will come. And dear friends, the Holy Spirit will give them a knowledge of themselves. Every one of this seed, they will be given a knowledge of themselves. They will be given a knowledge of their sins. You see, our sins lie hidden until the Holy Spirit will reveal and manifest our sins, bring them to the light of our consciences, and bring us with all to see all our guilt and defilement. And this, the word here, it says, this is known in all the earth, and it will be known to the end of time. It will be known in the earth. Dear friends, are we seeking this word here? He shall see his seed. Did God the Father see this seed, dear friends? Did he see thee when his dearly beloved Son gave up the ghost? It is finished. Did he see thy soul? Have we got an interest here? Because these excellent things give us a great deliverance. We're deserving of hell and damnation, and we will be brought to see that when the Spirit will reveal and manifest our sins. We'll be brought to see our sins, to feel them, to agonize over them. And it's the great deliverance. In verse 1 it says, "And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away." Where was it turned away, dear friends? In Jesus. There is our mercy. No wonder it says, in that day I will praise thee. What day is it? It's the gospel day. And it's the day of salvation, isn't it? "Thine anger is turned away," and it says, "thou comfortedest me." And dear friends, when our sins and the guilt and the defilement of them through the Spirit of the Lord have all gone from us, then that will be our comfort, won't it? It will be our comfort, our joy. The Ethiopian eunuch went on his way rejoicing. He'd been set free. All his guilt had gone. And then there was another corrupted woman. And she went forth and cried to the men of the city, "Come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" He told her everything that she was. He didn't hide anything. And the Lord, the Spirit, will do that, dear friends. We're brought to see our defilement, our uncleanness, all our unrighteousness as filthy rags. But this is the blessing. These excellent things, this pardon and forgiveness, this is known in all the earth. Dear friends, it will be a mercy if it's known here to every one of us. Yes, every one of us. It's the greatest blessing that can ever come into the soul of a poor sinner. Thirty-seven or 38 years, dear friends, I was going forth upon this earth, not knowing what such a great offence I was against God, and the curse that belonged to me, the broken law, His holiness, His righteousness. And He cannot look upon any sin with any degree of allowance. This is known in all the earth. Beg, dear friends, and cry for this mercy of our God in Christ. Beg. The publican did. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion. This great deliverance that set us free. And we were brought then into this wonderful truth. An inhabitant of Zion. God and His people together. Gathered in. Just as the sheep are gathered into the fold by Jesus. Gathered in. And Zion, dear friends, What a mercy it is to be a Zionite. What are some of the titles that can be given to these Zionites? Well, they're the poor, the needy, the helpless, the weak, the lame. And then there's another title that belongs to them. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. Look what we were by nature. The leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and fatling together, and a little child shall lead them, and the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw with the ox. Seems like something impossible as we think of the nature of it, isn't it? I mean, how many wolves do we see dwelling with a lamb? It's just opposite to their nature, isn't it? Well, it depicts what Zion is. It's the peaceableness of his kingdom, the kingdom of Christ. This is Zion. And it's gathered all sorts in, hasn't it? Saul of Tarsus, Manasseh. Me. Wretches undone, filthy, vile, base, unclean. Dear friends, this is the mercy that belongs, and they're saints. Saints. They were sinners, and now they're saints. Just thinking of Psalm 16, it's just a thought that came to me. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord, my goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. These are those, dear friends, that we're speaking of in Zion. The inhabitants, the citizens of Zion, they're saints, and they're the excellent in all the earth. It means the honourable ones. What a mercy. They're the words in Scripture, dear friends, not my words. It's a description of what we are. And to the excellent in whom is all my delight. All God's pleasure is towards his poor people. All his delight is in them. And everything that he is managing in the earth today is doing it for them. For Zion. All his counsels and purposes are being fulfilled. Is working amongst all nations. Nothing can overrule his hand. And he is working it all for his people, these Zionites, the unworthy ones, those that deserve nothing. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion. Oh, what a mercy, dear friends, to be an inhabitant of Zion. Why? They're all kept and preserved. God is their defense and protector. He is their keeper. What can ever become of them? They're in the hands of God. He owns them. They belong to him. He loves them. And he's always near to them. Always. And the poor soul can venture to him, the throne of grace. Here is the mercy that belongs to us. He says that the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Oh, dear friends, how much does he know about us? How much care? How much keeping? Oh, he's so near to us, so intimately acquainted with us, dear friends. A God that is so near to hand. A God that will never leave nor forsake. A God that will never fail for his people. A God that is faithful in all his word and promises. Cry out and shout. Oh, there's something here to cry out and shout for, thou inhabitant of Zion. These are those that have got titles clear to mansions in the skies. We're on a heaven-bound journey. To that place prepared for us. We don't know when the Lord will take us to himself. But dear friends, we've got something here to cry and shout about. It will be well with his people. It will be well with them. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion. For great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. And the Lord is great, isn't he? Just one or two thoughts in respect of the greatness of the Lord. I'm just thinking of the, if I can find it. I thought of that woman of Nain. Now then, where? I may just find it, I think. No, I cannot see it. But when the Lord showed mercy upon that poor woman, the woman of Nain, the Lord appeared unto her, and her son was in the bier, and she was a widow woman. And the Lord showed mercy. He touched the bier, and her son rose. And all the people marveled and said that there is indeed a great prophet amongst us. A great prophet. Dear friends, has the Lord Jesus spoken into thy soul and mine? Has he spoken all the words of this life into thy soul, the whole of salvation? Has he given thee some promise? Has he given thee a token for good? Has he told thee that he has reserved a place for thee? Has he told thee that he will be with thee passing through the waters, you know, the troubles and the trials, that he is with thee? Has he told thee? Has he told Moses or Jacob? I will be with thee and keep thee in all places whither thou goest. Has he spoken that word into thy soul? Doesn't he continually show to us in his promises that he is near to his people? This is the great prophet. And then he is our great high priest above. Great high priest, he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Great is the Holy One of Israel. And then there is something else here. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. He ever pleads the cause and the interest of his people. See, dear friends, read it in the 17th of John. That is a prayer of intercession, dear friends. Have we read that wonderful prayer? And has the Spirit of the Lord drawn us inside of it so that it's ours? What is the closing thoughts of it? In the prayer, he bids his Heavenly Father to keep his sheep, keep his lambs, keep his people. And then he bids his Heavenly Father, Father, I will that those whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. And then we have, dear friends, in this greatness of the Lord, in Psalm 95, a psalm that I behold, a wonderful truth. It says in verse 3, for the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. But, dear friends, he is a great God to us and he is a great King. See it, God in Jesus, God in Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords, our King and our Lord, who ever rules and reigns for us, and we are his subjects. He rules and overrules in every part and aspect of our lives. He is our King, and our King forever. And he reigns for us. And as I've just mentioned, he is making a way for us through this waste howling wilderness. He is that one, dear friends, in all his business in the earth. Everything in the earth and his counsels and his providence, everything has been worked out perfectly. A way for his people, because the end of all things is that the church will be with him at the consummation of all things, and he will rule and reign forever, and we shall reign with him. Dear friends, and then in Hebrews chapter 13 and in verse 20, the God of peace that raised from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, that great shepherd of the sheep, as he directed us and brought us thus far, dear friends? This shepherd, has he made a way? Has he gone before us? Made a way for us? Through this waste howling wilderness, this shepherd, has he directed us in all our way and path? Has he brought us thus far, this shepherd? Are we enclosed in his pasture? And then this shepherd, isn't it he that's borne us up and carried us? Isn't it? This shepherd? Yes. He's the keeper of his sheep, the preserver of his sheep. And it is he alone that will bring us to our course. And dear friends, it will be a good end. A good end. And I just close on this point then. The Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. It does give to us in the margin, it probably shows it in the margin here. And I think of chapter 41 and verse 14, because it is a good word, the Holy One of Israel. And there's another word that is fastened hard to it. And it's truly what it means, this Holy One of Israel. He is holy. He is pure. He's perfect. That holy thing that shall be born unto thee shall be called the Son of God. The Lord Jesus Christ. He is upright, perfect, righteous, just and true. And in his holiness, he has a holiness. Dear friends, an abyss of holiness for his people. For his people. And that is what we seek. That is what we pray for. That is what we want. To seek holiness and godliness in our hearts and lives. We need that. But then it says in this, "Fear not, thou worm Jacob." It's chapter 41 and verse 10. Ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Now that is the word that is fastened to this word here, the Holy One of Israel, thy Redeemer, thy husband, oh, thy bridegroom. You see, dear friends, here is the wonderful truth of the gospel. It's this wonderful relationship that we have with Jesus, married, belong to him. Oh, and he watches over us. He cares for us as a man would over his wife, to protect her, defend her, care for her, provide for her tenderly, lovingly. Oh, this is Jesus, the Redeemer of his people. And isn't this the wonderful truth of another great thing that Jesus is? Our Redeemer. Oh, the greatness of our redemption. A precious Christ in our room and place. Oh, the Lord bring us there to see a suffering Christ on the part of his people. The greatness of redeeming love and blood in that dear man upon the cross at Calvary. And you know, in our nature, dear friends, he knew the pain and the agonies that he went through. We cannot come into them, but all our sins are involved in it. And he's in the midst of thee. He's in the midst of us, his people here. The twos and the threes, he's in the midst of us. Everywhere we go, in our homes, we hope and trust the little Bethels. And he's in the midst. And he's in the midst, dear friends. He's always with his people. He's in the midst of the children of Israel as they went forth through that wilderness. And he's in our midst, dear friends, as we traverse through this wilderness here below. He's in the midst of us, near to us. We can come to him, confide in him, trust in him, wait upon him. And he that is in the midst of us is mighty and mighty to save. Dear friends, I pray, look at these words of our text. And dear friends, if you think they don't belong to you, pray over them, because you need these words. You need them for your soul. You need them, dear friends, to journey forth through this wilderness with. We can't do anything without Christ. Nothing. We need him. The Lord bless his few remarks. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Philip Warren is expected to preach next Lord's Day, Mr. Matthew Hyde on Monday evening next week. Let us close with hymn 990. 990. Jesus, now thyself reveal, manifest thy love to me, make me Saviour, make me feel, all my soul's delight in thee. Hymn 990.
pray that thy name alone shall have the glory and the praise. Pray that thy word shall not return unto thee void, that it may enter into each of our hearts, we pray thee, that it may do us good, Lord. Pardon and forgive anything that we may have thought or said or done amiss. Take us each to our homes in peace and safety. Now may thy grace, Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of God the Holy Spirit, rest and abide upon each one of us, now and for ever. Amen.